Galatians 4:4, okay? Galatians 4:4, we are in week 3 of Born Again, Sermons on the New Birth, and we're answering the question, what is a church with an eye to look ahead to, what is a Christian looking ahead to answer, what is a church next spring? So that's what we'll be doing. So to answer either of those questions, what is a Christian and what is a church, what's the question that we have to answer before any of those things? Who is God? Okay, none of these other things make sense if we don't know who God is. So week 1, we said that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that God is blessed. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. If you didn't exist at all, God is still blessed. Week 2, we said that salvation is big, God's size, God's shaped. It's all about God. We took a break last week, and here in week 3, we'll look at how salvation, okay, how you are born again, how that comes from the blessed triune God, that salvation that is God-sized and God-shaped. We're going to look at how that actually works, okay? There's actually a beautiful order to it. And so the main idea today is that before you take tomorrow off, except for you people dealing with flood stuff who are going to be working your tails off tomorrow, the main idea today is that salvation is not just the Father's love. It's not just Christ's work. It's not just the Spirit's application of that work. But your salvation, what you have been born into, is all three working together to save. This beautiful harmony in your salvation comes from this triune, blessed God. And it's really good news. Really good news. So Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is God's word. Okay, so what Paul shows us in Galatians 4 is this order of salvation, God's expression of himself to a fallen man, to sinful man, though maybe not how we experienced it. Maybe we didn't experience this order. This is actually what happened to you. It is ordered. What happened to you is almost, these aren't great words, but what's happened to you, if you are a Christian, is almost neat and it's almost tidy. It's not random or sloppy, but it's precise and intentional what God has done. So fallen man is Normandy Beach. God is Churchill and Roosevelt and Eisenhower planning exactly the attack, exactly how they're going to do this. And this attack on fallen man, if you've paid attention so far, is triune. Okay, God's aim to save happens in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The life of God in the soul of man comes knocking with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So just go back to Galatians 4 there. But when the fullness of time had come, God, who's that? God the Father, sent forth his Son. Who's that? Christ the Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, their salvation. So we got Father and Son, and then to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God the Father has sent who? The Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are, because of this happening, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So the plan of attack, all right, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of God for all of you. John Owen, Puritan, wrote, when God designed, okay, there's that intentionality, when God designed the great and glorious work of recovering fallen man and the saving of sinners to the praise of his glorious grace, he appointed in his infinite wisdom two great means thereof. The one was the giving of his Son for them, and the other was the giving of his Spirit to them. And hereby was way made for the manifestation of the glory of the whole blessed Trinity, which is the utmost end of all the works of God. So this is how I want us to think about salvation. When you think about being born again, the first thing I want you to think about is God in three persons, blessed Trinity, coming to save, on a mission to save, okay? And not just because that's what I want us to think, but that's because what the Bible teaches us about salvation. This is actually what God's been saying the whole time. So when we read the Bible, okay, and Certainly, we want to see Jesus as the hero, right? Most of our songs are aimed at Jesus, are about Jesus. We want to see him as the hero. So you read through the Old Testament story, we want to be looking for Jesus as the hero. When you read the New Testament story, you want to see Jesus as the hero. When you look at your own story, when you look at our story, we're going to say all praise and honor is due to Jesus. After all, it is Jesus who came and lived, and it was Jesus who died, and Jesus who rose from the dead for our eternal life. It was Jesus who ascended into heaven and is now making intercession for us, and it's Jesus who's soon returning to fully restore and finally save everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, okay? He is the hero. We're not disputing that, but what's necessary, what the scriptures point to is, yes, Jesus is the hero, but what I'm saying, what I think the scripture is saying, that when you watch Jesus, think Trinity. When you watch Jesus, think Trinity. And all of our seeing of Jesus, all of our singing about him, we see and should never forget that Jesus is sent by the Father, and Jesus does his work in company with the Spirit. Watch Jesus, think Trinity. Okay, does that make sense? All of God for all of you. So look at the order first. Jesus is sent by the Father. That's what Galatians 4 says. Jesus is not some rogue deity. Okay? He didn't wake up one day, if he slept, didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll be incarnate today. I think today I will forgive some sins, maybe later turn some water into wine for the boys. That's not what's happening in the life of Jesus. He says he does nothing by himself. Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Okay? Jesus doesn't send forth himself. See that? This means yes, this means no. I know it's rainy and sleepy outside, but we have to wake up, okay? You can sleep later today. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. God did this. John 6:38, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but Jesus says to do the will of him who sent me. Well, who's him who sent me? Father, right? So this is concert, this work for us. Jesus' very reason for living, right, for his whole life seems to be aimed at this reality of pleasing his Father. John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish my work or his work. His work, okay? Again, who is him who sent me? It's the Father, okay? This attack right here is just two pronged. So in all the works of Jesus, all the songs, all the sermons, all the basic girl Instagram posts, always have an eye on the sending Father. God sent forth his Son, but it's not just Father, okay? The Christian God that we confess is not biune, it's not Father and Son. God is triune, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So first the Father sends the Son, and second, the Spirit then works in company with the Son. So this is a big deal, a big, massive doctrine. It needs a lot of time. We'll just do it hard and fast here this morning. The first thing to see is the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus. Remember, we're watching Jesus, but thinking Trinity. The first thing is to see the Holy Spirit encompasses all sides of Jesus' life and ministry. So first, the Spirit precedes the ministry of Jesus, okay? So who brings about Mary's virgin birth, right? Matthew, Luke, our Apostles' Creed tell us that it was the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So there's before Jesus' ministry. Second, who shows up at Jesus' baptism? Well, Mark tells us that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, okay? So we got the Spirit there before Jesus' ministry. And then as we get into Jesus' ministry, I'm going to go really fast here, we just see the Spirit over and over and over. Hebrews 9:14, Jesus leads a sinless, spotless life, and his life is offered in the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, Isaiah 61, Luke 4, Jesus is anointed for service to God by who? The Holy Spirit. Luke 1, Jesus is led by the Spirit in all of his movements. When Jesus goes into the desert, who does that? It's the Spirit's leading him. Isaiah 11, Matthew 12. Jesus, who taught the apostles, well, it says that the apostles were chosen and appointed by who? The Holy Spirit. John 3:34, it says the Spirit spoke through Jesus the words of God. Matthew 12, Jesus' miracles are wrought in the power of who? The Spirit. And then Romans 8:11 says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. Well, who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't just, the Spirit raised him up from the dead. And even after that, okay, as some we'll get into later this summer, it's the Holy Spirit then applying the work of Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, the Holy Spirit is making that true in your life, okay? The application of Christ's life comes to you only through the Holy Spirit. So when you see Jesus, think Trinity, think God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on mission together, saving, rescuing, restoring, and giving new birth to sinful men, okay? If you are saved, the fullness of God has come on you. Okay, you were born into the big whole thing. That's if you start with Jesus, which is good. That makes sense. We're always going to point people to Jesus first. But what if you start with the Father? Same thing. Watch the Father and think Trinity. Watch Jesus and think Trinity. But when you watch the Father, go ahead and keep thinking Trinity. It is the Father who sends Christ on His mission of salvation, His life, His death, His resurrection. When the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4, God sent forth His Son. And it's also the Father who sends the Spirit to complete and apply that work, okay? To use a metaphor, and please don't take this too far. If you take this metaphor too far, you're heretics, we'll have to burn you, and no one wants to do that, okay? We don't want to burn anybody, but So don't take this too far, but it does give us kind of a picture. Irenaeus, early church father, so year 200, when Jesus sets time at zero, we're in 200 now, wrote about God having almost two hands, okay? So Genesis 2, 7, God's creating, okay? He's forming man. Genesis 2, 7 says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. What Irenaeus says is basically God didn't have His angels go and get dirty in the mud to create man, but that God always had present with Him two hands, okay? The Son and the Spirit by whom He made all things, okay? Read that Genesis account of creation. It's the Spirit who's hovering over the deep, and then somebody speaks and there is creation. We'll go back to Galatians 4, and you see these two hands at work again. But when the fullness of time had come, God the Father sent forth His Son, Christ the Son. Go to verse 6, then God the Father sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Don't go too far, you're a heretic, but just stay right here, and it's fine. This is the order then. God the Father sending the Son and sending the Spirit. Okay, does that make sense? So here, and we'll get to, if you don't get it, it's still fine. We'll get to that at the end. So how does all this work, okay? How does the Trinity save? Well, we're going to think in two categories here. First, in redemption accomplished, okay? That's the first category. The second category, then, is redemption applied, okay? I think we have this on the slide. It says, Christ the Son accomplishes redemption in His own Spirit-created and Spirit-filled work, okay? Christ the Son accomplishes redemption. The Holy Spirit then applies that accomplished redemption to us in His own Son-directed and Son-forming work. So salvation, you being born again, that is one work of God, okay? It's not three works of God. It is one work of God accomplished by the Son and then applied by the Spirit, okay? We can go to John Wesley for this. He says, what God does for us through His Son and what He works in us by His Spirit. Go to Charles, John's brother. He says, I felt my Lord's atoning blood close to my soul applied. Okay, there's application. Me, He loved, the Son of God, for me, He died. There's accomplished. Or we go to J.R. Packer, who's still living. He says, the work of salvation is one in which all three act together, the Father purposing redemption, the Son securing it, and the Spirit applying it. Okay? Do you see what's going on here? If you are a Christian, this is what's happened to you. The Father purposed that you would be saved. Okay? Jesus came and worked what needed to be worked for you to be saved, and the Holy Spirit applied that to your life. And I said I wasn't going to use this illustration, but I have to. Okay, have you seen Peter Pan? You've seen Peter Pan? Okay, Peter's shadow gets off of him somehow. I'm not sure how Peter's shadow gets away. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, this is why I didn't want to do it, but I have to now. Okay, his shadow's running away from him. Well, Peter, how does he try and apply the shadow back to him? He has to catch it and then rub soap on it and put it. Okay, the shadow is like the work of Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit's the soap, like applying that back to your life. That's why I didn't put it in here, because it's terrible, okay? What's happened is God has sent the Son to do the work, Okay, to do the work that you could not do. God sent the Son, and the Spirit glued that work to your life. Okay, so your life becomes Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, your life has become His life. That's what's happened to you. By the Spirit, Galatians 4, you are no longer a slave, but now by the Spirit, you are a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Okay? So you can work it out this way. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Romans 8 tells us, and He gave you His Son. He's not going to spare anything else. Like, you can get all of God to reconcile sinful man to God. 2 Corinthians 5, okay? Nothing needs added to that story, okay? God has sent the Son to live, die, resurrect, ascend, and soon return. That story is fine. It works great. That's a fact, okay? Those are things that have happened and things that will happen, okay? The lamb slain is something, an event that has happened in history, okay? It is done. The lamb has been slain. That's the work. That's redemption accomplished. But if that's all that happened, if all that happened is in 33 AD, Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. If that's all that happened, you're not saved. And I'll explain that before you throw stuff at me. You don't just need an event to happen, okay? You need that event that happened 2,000 years ago. You need that event applied to your life, okay? Peter's got to catch the shadow and put it on himself. So while the Father's sending of the Son accomplished redemption, okay, Christ did die, Christ did rise from the grave. The Father sending the Son accomplished redemption, a redemption. It's not your redemption until the Holy Spirit applies that to your life. Almost like God has to be triune for you to be saved. And if He's biune, you're not saved. The work of the Father and the Son is not enough. The Spirit's application of the accomplished redemption of Christ is not optional for your salvation. It is mandatory. It is necessary that the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are children of God. Okay? Blessed Trinity comes to save as Blessed Trinity. John Flavel, another Puritan, writes, "The Father has elected, the Son has redeemed. But until the Spirit has wrought His part also, we cannot be saved. For He comes in the Father's and in the Son's name and authority to complete the work of our salvation by bringing all the fruits of election and redemption home to our souls." Until the Spirit's work has been wrought in you, that's just an event that happened. Okay? When that's applied to your life by the Holy Spirit, then that's your event that happened. Your life is now Christ by the Spirit. Now, Flavel is a Puritan. They're smart. Okay, they're smarter than us. D.L. Moody is more my speed. D.L. Moody has a fifth grade education in the early 1900s, and he made the gospel plain for plain people, which is us. So if D.L. Moody's doing a rally, and he's getting into something more complex, what Moody would do is rather than try and explain it, he'd bring up a better educated pastor to help him tease things out. So I'm going to read their dialogue here. There we got Moody. He'd bring up a guy named Marcus Rainsford up onto the platform with him. And Rainsford said, "Christ's work for me is the payment of my debt, the giving me a place in my Father's home, the place of sonship in my Father's family." Then Rainsford said, "The Holy Spirit's work in me is to make me fit for His company." So Jesus makes a place for you at the table, and it's the Holy Spirit that applies that to you and cleans it up. Well, Moody said to him, "You distinguish then between the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost." And Rainsford said, "Thanks be to God, I have them all, I want them all, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I read that my Heavenly Father took my sins and laid them on Christ. Then the Son bore my sins in His own body on the tree, and I want the Holy Ghost. I should know nothing of this great salvation, and would care nothing for it if the Holy Ghost had not come and told me the story and given me the grace to believe it." Okay? You are only a Christian. You are only born again because the Spirit took that work of Christ and applied it to your life. Okay? That's the only reason you're saved. Had the Spirit not come to you, that would not have happened. You would not be a Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, well, we're praying, and I want you to start praying in this moment, is that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you that this is true and that you want it. that you want Christ's life to be your life, and that you would be a son, if a son, then an heir through God. It has to be the Spirit's work. We can't conjure this up in ourselves. So what's happening here is Moody and Rainsford are saying the same thing that Flavel's saying, and Flavel's just saying the same thing that Paul's saying in Galatians 4. We needed a redemption accomplished by the Son. We needed Christ to come, and we needed Christ to die, and we needed Christ to live. We needed that to happen. If that doesn't happen, we have no hope. But also, we need the Holy Spirit to apply that to our life. Or it's just an event. It's not your event. So Moody asked Rainsford one more leading question at the end of this evening. And Moody says, suppose somebody received the word of God this very night. What would the result be? It's just a leading question, right? Here's the softball for him to knock it out of the park. And Rainsford said, the Father and the Son. If you received the word today, this is true for you as well, not just in early 1900. The Father and the Son will make their abode with him, and he will be a temple of the Holy Ghost, and where he goes, the whole Trinity goes, and all the promises of God are his. So Christian, if you are a Christian, where you go, the whole Trinity goes, and all the promises of God are yours. Your salvation's, I don't want to go back to last week, but salvation's big. God's size and God shape. And so this is God's mission. This is what God is doing. In love, the Father has sent the Son to die for our sins and rise for our lives. And in love, the Father then sends the Spirit to apply this work to us and to make his home in us. That's why we started week one with the blessedness and the joy of God, to show you that it's there, right? That God is blessed right now, and that there is a divine life happening, the happy land of the Trinity that's whole and it's complete. What I'm saying this week is that in the gospel, that blessed life is yours. All of God for all of you, the life of God in the soul of man, completely wholly yours. God has extended by grace. He didn't have to because he's blessed by himself. God has extended his blessed life into ours. That's what's happening in salvation. God has come for us. Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's what God's thinking about. In sending his Son, he's making a way for us to be sons, to enjoy the same love with which the Father loves the Son. How much does the Father love the Son? A lot. A lot. So if you are in Christ today, you are absolutely loved. Totally. They're absolutely loved. Absolutely treasured. Absolutely valued. This is a conversation I've had with a high school student. I said, when will God stop loving me? Right? Because they're being terrible. I'll be honest. They're being terrible. So when will God stop loving me? I know this person's a Christian. Okay? And I said to them, when God stops loving Jesus, when God stops loving his own Son, he will stop loving you. But until that happens, which is not happening, he will love you. He will see you through. God sent forth his Son so that this would be. But not only does God send his Son, he sends the Spirit then to apply this love to the hearts of believers. If you are a Christian, this is what's happened to you. God with his hands has given you all of himself. So when you repent and you believe, you are born again. And when this happens, God is your good Father. And in Jesus, all of your guilt is gone. All of it. Now, we're humans, and we like to hold on to a little bit of it. In Jesus, it's all gone. Okay? That's why the church is a safe place for people who have sinned. So we come in and say, the blood of Jesus washes all of this away. Not some, not a little. Consequences of that might last through this life. We don't want to lie to you. But your guilt is gone. Your sin is gone. And when you are born again, the Spirit dwells inside of you. Galatians 4, 4 and 7, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Amanda, would you come help us, please? Thank you. C.S. Lewis, when he was giving his radio addresses that turned into the book Mere Christianity, said, "You may ask, if we cannot imagine a three-personal being, what is the good of talking about him?" Lewis said, "Well, there isn't any good in talking about him. The thing that matters is being actually drawn in to that three-personal life." And then Lewis, on the radio to people that are under the bombs going off in World War II, listen on the radio in their bomb shelters, "The thing that matters is actually being drawn to that three-personal life." And Lewis said, "And that may begin at any time. Tonight, if you like." Now, if you're in your bomb shelter listening to C.S. Lewis say that, bombs are going off, that's probably good news. Wow, tonight, I can repent of my sins. Tonight, I can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, I will be drawn in to this blessed Trinity, drawn into this life of God. And so Lewis said, "Tonight, if you like," I'm saying this morning, if you like. This morning, if you would cry out to God, that you would be saved, that you would be drawn into his life, a broken and a contrite heart, Psalm tells us, he'll never deny. Okay? So bring all of your junk to Jesus. Bring all of your mess, all of your sin that put Jesus on the cross. He knows about it, right? He was there. Bring that to him, and this life is yours. So maybe you didn't get all of this today. Maybe the talk of the triune God the last 3 weeks seems like too much and we should move on. That's actually okay, right? That's actually fine, because what Lewis said, the important thing isn't talking about him. The important thing is being drawn into him. The blessed God, by his Son and through his Spirit, has given his life to you. If you would repent of your sins and call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And all the benefits of this salvation, those we went through this morning and those we're looking at for the rest of the summer, all of those are yours. Okay? Guys, salvation is bigger than you think. It's better than you think. And the longer you stare into it, the prettier it gets. Okay? So that's what we're doing. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for your sinless life, Jesus. Thank you for your atoning death for us. Thank you for your resurrection that gives us eternal life. Thank you for your ascension into heaven to make intercession, to pray for the saints. Thank you for your soon return. God, I ask this morning that you would, by your Spirit, apply the work of Jesus to everyone in this room. By the Spirit, convict us of sin. By the Spirit, lead us to repentance. By the Spirit, give us grace to believe. God, you are blessed. You are whole. You are complete. So thank you for sharing that life with us, giving your life to us. In the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen, amen. I'm going to invite the elders and deacons up, and we'll take from the Lord's table. If you are a believer this morning, please take with us. Please enjoy this meal with us. If you are not a believer, would you please refrain from taking this morning? And we can talk about that after service. But believers, you're welcome to take.